Somebody shout hallelujah. Beloved, praise the Lord. Just like yesterday that we started season 5, today we are recording the very last episode of season 5 of Biblical Phonesis. You are all heartily welcome to this episode. This season finale, we capture it as Nehemiah's leadership profile. In this season of BP, we have used Nehemiah as a case study to highlight issues around influence, responsibility, credibility, faith and trust, learning, empowerment and succession, navigation, vision, and of course, in our last episode, legacy. Today we close the season with the leadership profile of Nehemiah, and our passage is from Nehemiah 6:1-4. We've read it in this season already. Nehemiah 6:1-4. And I read from verse 1. From the NLT version, Sanballat, Tobias, Gesem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out had finished rebuilding the wall and had no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Gesem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in a place of honor. But I realized they were plotting to harm me. So I replied by sending this message to them. I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you? Verse 4. 4 times they sent the same message. Each time I gave the same reply. He was very focused. And our anchor verse for the episode, for the second time in this season, we have used it earlier on in one of the episodes, is Nehemiah 6:3. The KJV says, and I sent message into them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why I leave it and come down to you? That's a good question. When God has given you an assignment, why should you listen to the voices of distraction? Things that doesn't add value either to yourself personally or to the work God has given unto you. Indeed, Nehemiah never took his eyes off the ball while rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Like many leaders in the Bible, he demonstrated an understanding of God's calling over his life, whether as a cupbearer to the king of Persia or as the rebuilder and governor of Jerusalem. Nehemiah pursued his goals with, number one, commitment. He was very, very committed to the work. Careful planning. He knew the difference between planning and scheduling. Strategic delegation. He delegated strategically to ensure the job was done. Creative problem solving. Focus on the task and reliance on God. In particular, number 6 featured throughout his life, reliance on God. Particularly when issues are out of his control. That is one of the things that every one of us must learn as a leader. Beloved, those 6 attributes that are just mentioned illustrated the actions that Nehemiah took while rebuilding the wall. Those attributes enabled him to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. For example, he demonstrated commitment and great concern over the conditions of his fellow Jews in Judah. He did not look the other side because, if these people are being oppressed, I can just bring other people from another location and do the work. No, he did not look another side when he saw his people being exploited. Next, he prayed and planned. And he made himself available for God to use. Nehemiah 1:11 and Nehemiah 2:5. Says that to us clearly. He solved the problem by personally inspecting and assessing the conditions of the ruin. He assessed it himself. He had a first-hand experience, a first-hand account of what was going on. That is what a leader must do. Leadership by walking about, not relying on reported speeches that may be inaccurate. Thereafter, he enlisted the help of the local leadership in Jerusalem. Very, very smart decision he did. While doing so, he challenged them to take responsibility for the common good. He gave us specific tasks and ensured workers were alive to do this task. In other words, they were given tasks to rebuild the wall closest to where they live, to their home. In doing so, he made the workers see the benefit of having a protective shield wherever they were living. Beloved, as the work moved forward, Nehemiah ensured that it was not distracted as underlined in our key verse of this episode, Nehemiah 6:3. It did not allow distraction through physical attacks or tricks of the enemy. We mustn't allow it. If they can't come to us physically, they'll use people around us. They'll use people that are listening to them. He took all threats seriously. We must do that. and prepare for all eventualities without stopping the work. We must not be fooled by tricks and distractions of the devil. In particular, the seventh attempt to stop the work was repaired or neutralized by Nehemiah. As a reminder, let us flag the seventh attempt. When Sambala, Tobias, and Jesse mocked him in Nehemiah 2:19, he did not react angrily to the detriment of the work, no. Number two, when Sambalat and Tobias mock him again in Nehemiah 4:1-3, he did not react negatively to the detriment of the work. Number three, when all the opposition threatened a military attack on the work in Nehemiah 4:7-23, he prepared, he readied the men to defend. Number four, when Sambalat and Gesa attempted to trick and lure him to honor that we have just read outside Jerusalem, he knew he would be exposed, vulnerable, if he leave the work he was doing. So he steadfastly refused to leave, to go to them. Number five, when Sambalat threatened him with false charges, Nehemiah 6:5-9, when people around us or people afar off lay false charges against us, either through emails or physically, do we give room for them to stop the work of God? We mustn't do that. When number six, when Shemir, Nocha, and others were paid to prophesy falsely to discredit him, Nehemiah 6:10-14, he did not stop the work. He did not react negatively. When fellow ministers lay false charges or lie against, even on the pulpit, the pastor in charge is lying. How do you do? You walk out of the church or you act negatively and to stop the work of God. You don't do that. You put the devil to shame. You remain calm because the work is not yours after all. It's the work of the Lord Almighty. Number seven, when Tobias had spies in Jerusalem and wrote him letters to frighten him, Nehemiah 6:17-19, he did not flinch. He remained steadfast. Beloved, all this attempt failed because at every turn, Nehemiah talked to God, placing every decision before him. Are we doing the same today as leaders in this generation when we have to face some of all these temptations and trials? Beloved, Nehemiah succeeded because he never lost sight of the reasons for the work and the source of power with which it has to be completed. The reason for the work, he never lost sight of it. And the source of power was God himself. So he never lost sight of it. So he had to contend, like many of us even today, he had to contend with opposition inside and outside. And he was able to weather the storm. Beloved, the book of Nehemiah showed that leaders will contend and must overcome opposition to the assignment from within and outside their establishment or the organization or the parish or the area or the cathedral or whatever we are working. There will always be, if you are doing something right, there will always be opposition from within and from outside. The working with God is not a popularity contest. There will always be oppositions. So, beloved, as shown in the several attempts to stop the work, Nehemiah's trouble came mainly from three men: Sambalat, Tobias, and Geshem. Three men. First, they mocked him and the Jews as they worked when they began the work. Nehemiah ignored them, prayed, and kept working. Next, they threatened to attack them when at work. Again, Nehemiah prayed and readied the people for such eventualities. He harmed them. However, their ridicule and threat began to worry the workers. And Nehemiah also swung to action. He encouraged and armed the workers to defend themselves. So they stood firm. So these are all external oppositions, however. They are all external to them in Judah. The next opposition was from within, the Jewish officials doing the wrong things to the poor among them. So you always have opposition within and without. Charging high interest rates and seizing properties was a potentially destructive event that would have stopped the work because people were suffering. Nehemiah would not have none of such misadventure. No, he wouldn't condone it. He wouldn't look the other side. Your fellow full-time pastor did something wrong. You cannot reprimand him simply because the people that are the victims are part-time pastor. That is wrong. And it is not good in the sight of God. You go back home and you say, God, forgive me. But you have not done what is right in the face of God. So, Nehemiah will not stand for such misadventure and ordered his official to retrace their steps. Beloved, throughout the impossible task, Nehemiah showed unusual leadership that made the wall to be built in record time, in 52 days. Even his enemies, the enemies of the project, grudgingly and fearfully admitted that God was with the rebuilders. Only God would have done this. Beloved, the season is coming to an end. Let's go through the biblical fullnesses for this episode. Number one, God worked through Nehemiah to bring about a spiritual reawakening among the people of Judah. God is still the same God today. God is able to do the same for you and I today. Once we are able to talk to Him and we live in holiness and we are able to listen to Him. We talk to Him, we listen to Him. Number two, like Nehemiah, we can do great things for God. We mustn't limit ourselves, even if we don't have any title in the mission. Or we don't have any title where we are working, we don't have any provision of authority of influence. We can still do great things for God. Nehemiah did all he did for the world rebuilding, not because he was looking to become governor. In fact, he left the governorship and went back to Persia. So it's not really about your position. You must get it right. Number three, to do great things for God, we must be someone that talks to God. We must welcome God into our thoughts and share our concerns, feelings, and dreams with Him. That's number three. Number four, after talking to God, we must be a person who walks with Him. We must put what we learn from His word into action. Not just that we can recite many biblical verses, but when we are called to take action, we do the opposite. We duck and dive. Number five, Nehemiah was a man of character, persistent and steadfast prayer. We have to be somebody like that because there will always be opposition from within and from without. Number six, we have to be brilliant planner. God never plays the foolish in positions of authority because it will not get the job done. You must be a brilliant planner, organizer, and motivator like Nehemiah. You have people in our area of influence. Are we able to organize them to do the job, strategically delegate, and motivate them when they are discouraged? Or when they are discouraged, when they come to us, then we hear what is in our mouth, they want to go and commit suicide because nothing good is coming from what we say. Instead of us to allow, according to Colossians, allow our words to be seasoned with salt. So what are the lessons we can learn from the life of Nehemiah, beloved, as we round up? The first step in any activity or venture is to pray to God. You are beloved, you must pray to God before you take any step. Number two, people under God's direction always accomplish the impossible tasks because to the eyes of a man is impossible. The wall of Jerusalem has been in ruin for 120 years. So it cannot even be built in 10 years, but it was rebuilt in 52 days. That is an impossible task. And there's no impossibility before God. Number three, there are two paths to service to God. You must learn to talk to Him, listen to Him very well, and we must walk. Beloved, let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for such a wholesome time in Your presence in this revival of our lives. Father, give us the grace to speak and walk with You always in that mighty name. Lead us, oh Lord, lead us aright. Let us always operate under Your direction as we may be. Jesus, most precious name. Beloved, if you enjoyed this episode, please like us on our various media platforms and also join us at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Restoration House online or on site in Bloemfontein, South Africa. We welcome comments from you. Please use all our platforms on Facebook as well as YouTube. Till we come to you in the next episode of Biblical Fullnesses, may the Lord keep you safe and blessed. May He shower you with divine wisdom daily to succeed in the mighty name of Jesus.